Welcome to the History Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Thomason. The History Podcast is an educational podcast intended to engage student and lifelong learning in American history. Without further delay, let's get to it. In 1896, the Supreme Court ruled in Plessy v. Ferguson that segregation, so long as it was equal, was constitutional in the United States. This was a ruling that would give credibility to segregationists in the United States who wanted all walks of life segregated. And it's important to understand that racial hostilities didn't just exist in the South. They existed everywhere in the United States, every corner of the United States. In the North, we saw this as de facto segregation or understood segregation, whereas in the South, it was called de jure segregation or by law. Historically, we refer to this as Jim Crow. In Jim Crow America, white supremacists saw the Ku Klux Klan as the hero of the South, not only in the years directly following the American Civil War, but as the force to preserve the old ways of the South under Jim Crow. At the turn of the century, we begin to see the KKK resurface in bigger ways than ever. Why? In today's episode, we are going to investigate white propaganda of the early 1900s and how it put African Americans, as we have discussed in previous episodes, in direct danger, as well as its lasting legacy of white vigilante law in modern day. Join me as we discuss the dangers of the 1915 film, The Birth of a Nation. In 1905, Thomas Dixon Jr., a novelist from North Carolina, wrote a book entitled The Klansman. The Klansman was the author's recounting of the American Civil War and Reconstruction and the so-called redemption of the South by the Ku Klux Klan. The book, which was published by Doubleday, Page & Company in 1905, was set in Washington, D.C. and the fictional town of Piedmont, South Carolina. In the book, Dixon expresses his outrage at the dramatic presentation of Harriet Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. The book would sell more than 1 million copies and was so popular that the book was eventually adapted to play. The play opened on September 27, 1905, and was an immediate hit. It toured not only in the South, as to be expected, but also the Midwest and eventually the East Coast. Then North Carolina governor Robert Glenn predicted that the play would correct the foul misrepresentation done to this beloved section. And while there were critics of the book turned into play for that it would stir up racial animosity, the play continued to sell out everywhere it went. The Klansman would then be converted in 1915 by D.W. Griffith into a silent film. Griffith did not hide the themes of the movie, which leaked before the film was released. The film, which was overtly racist, led the New York Times Evening Post and editor Oswald Garrison Villard, along with the American Board Association and its president, Moorfield Story, to denounce the movie. The movie took the side of the South in the American Civil War and saw the antebellum South as this utopian paradise of white wealth, which Reconstruction was now posing as a threat to its economic future. The movie focused on two families. You had the Stonemans, which were from the North, and you had the Camerons, which were from the South. And both families' eldest sons fall in love with girls from the other family. And though the Civil War placed the young men on opposing sides, they still maintained a deep, abiding friendship. In fact, there is a scene where Ben Stoneman stops in the middle of warfare to comfort his injured friend Cameron, and also to bask one last time in the love for their ladies. Black characters in this movie were played by white actors, which was very common during this era. The white actors would paint their faces and hands black, and It was coined blackface. What's important to understand about our discussion here today is that the movie took liberties to portray African Americans as crude, dangerous savages, that if you didn't stop them, they were going to rape Southern white women. Griffith creates this scene, in fact, where the black character, one of the black characters, is chasing this Southern white woman. And they portray the black character as this animalistic type figure who is going to just gobble this white woman up and rape her. And she runs and runs and runs until she finally reaches the edge of a cliff and has to make a decision. Does she give in to the black man or does she jump off the cliff? And she chooses to jump off the cliff. In the final scene of Griffith's The Birth of a Nation, he sets the stage for the Ku Klux Klan to come riding in on horseback in a heroic type format to rid the South of the dangerous African Americans. Thomas Dixon, who was the author of The Klansman, was very close friends with then President Woodrow Wilson and was invited into the White House for a private viewing of the film. Wilson was reported as saying after watching the film, "The movie was like writing history with lightning. My only regret is that it is all so terribly true." All so terribly true? This controversial and notoriously racist film was made for just over $100,000, but it grosses over $18 million at the box offices in its first few years, which is the modern day equivalent of $1.8 billion in today's money. The movie also sold for $2 per ticket in an era where the going rate for a movie ticket was a dime. The true danger of this film was that Griffith was a good filmmaker and a brilliant storyteller, which caused many white moviegoers to believe this film was true historically and emotionally. The Birth of a Nation not only taught moviegoers how to react to the film, but what they should think about black people in America. While the movie did provoke protests in many northern cities where there were large black populations, it did not stop white Americans from going to see it. The sad reality is, the film simply exposed the racism that existed in the United States. As to how many people showed up to watch it over and over again. But what is also another sad reality about The Birth of a Nation is after the film's release, you start to see white Americans use this as an opportunity to justify their white supremacy and white privilege in this country. In fact, the 27th president, Woodrow Wilson, once said that the purpose of Reconstruction was, and I quote, "to put the white South under the heel of the black South, under black officials who knew nothing of the uses of authority except its insolences. The white men were roused by an instinct of mere self-preservation until at last there had sprung into existence a great Ku Klux Klan, a veritable empire of the South to protect the Southern country." This film, along with political leaders like President Woodrow Wilson, among many others in Washington, D.C., will give angry white Americans the drive and motivations to begin taking matters into their own hands in the South. After the release of the film, the KKK will see a resurgence in membership, reaching in many conservative estimations of upwards of 2 million people. The Klan was made up of not only law enforcement, but public officials, preachers, teachers, and local business owners, just to name a few. In the years that followed after the film, we will see increased KKK activity all throughout the South, putting Black Americans on notice that if you don't get out now, your lives could be in danger. We will see an increase in domestic terrorism and racial terror lynchings in this country after the film's release in 1915. The first wave of the Great Migration will really take off during World War I and will increase throughout the decade of the 20s due to those racial terror lynchings that exiled many African Americans from the South during this period. Unfortunately, what migrant Black Americans will find once they reach the North is that they're still going to experience segregation, just in a different form. We thank you for joining us today on the podcast. We hope that you learned something. We ask that you would subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications on any new episode that comes out. We also ask that you would give us some feedback, positive or negative. If you like the podcast, give us a 5-star review. That always helps us get our podcast out to a larger audience. And as always, guys, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. We'll see you next time.